The Hebrews chapter number 11. We're going to be looking into another sermon in the series, My Faith. And we're also going to be looking at Genesis chapter number 6. So Hebrews chapter number 11 and Genesis chapter number 6 this evening. Tonight we're going to talk about by faith, moving with fear. By faith, moving with fear. Well, we're going to look here. There's a Bible character that the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things yet not been seen, moved with fear. So I think tonight we're going to look at this thought of if we're truly going to live a life that is by faith, we're going to have the right respect for the Lord Jesus Christ and right respect for God. And that will cause us to move and live our lives by fear. Now you say there's a difference between the fear of the Lord and there's a difference between living in fear. And we're talking about having a holy respect and reverence of the Lord and wanting to do what he's asked us to do because we do not want to disappoint him. We do not want to fail him. Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, as we've been looking through Hebrews chapter number 11, we've gone through a couple of different sermons already. And I've told you that my interest is not as much as what they accomplished, because we've seen those stories. We've went through those stories. We've looked at those stories. We talked about the Davids killing Goliath. We looked at Abraham willing to offer up Isaac. We talked about Moses leading the children of Israel all throughout to the promised land and all those different things. But what was the motive behind that? And when you look at Hebrews chapter number 11, there's a number of verses that give this explanation by faith. Remember probably a month or two ago, we looked at the story about by faith, that because Moses saw him who is invisible, it changed the way he looked at things. And because he saw God and he understood God was at work and understood that he was living for the Lord and living for God and not for Pharaoh, he was willing to forsake those things of Egypt, and he saw him who was invisible. We even looked at the story about Abraham and Isaac, I think back in February, and how Abraham was willing to offer up Isaac, and by faith he was willing to surrender all. But more importantly, we looked into the story why Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were willing to go and be strangers and pilgrims in this world because they had a heavenly focus. So there was something about them that caused them to live by faith. For Moses, it was seeing him who was invisible. For Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, it spoke about how they had a heavenly focus, looking forward to that promise in the future in that city that's builder and maker was God. And here we look at the story of Noah. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now, what he's referring to is God had given him instruction. They had not seen rain yet, and God told him it was going to rain. But what does he do with that? Does he believe? Does he trust? And the answer is yes. It says that he moved with fear. He believed God. But not only did he believe God, he obeyed God. And not only did he obey the Lord blesses him for that. It says, because he moved with fear to the saving of his own house. And he continues on going, by the which he condemned the world, saying by his righteous actions, by his holy living, he condemned the world with their securities. And he condemned the world about the way that they were confident in. And it says that, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So you see, the beginning of this verse talked about by faith, and the end of the verse talked about by faith. It talks about the reward, and it talks about the blessing of God. Now, let's take our Bible to Genesis chapter number 6. We'll come back to Hebrews chapter number 11 in a few minutes. But Genesis chapter number 6, I know most of us know the story, but just to give you a reminder that God comes to Noah. Hopefully, I don't call him Moses. That's easy to do for me to switch up for some reason. Those names coincide. We're talking about Noah tonight. The introduction was a little bit about Moses, but the sermon isn't. Noah, chapter number 6. Let's start in verse number 5 here. We're going to read the section where God gives him a commission. And you notice here, he doesn't command him. He tells him, this is what you need to do. God's not going to command you to become and believe and trust in him. God does command us to, as believers, to follow certain guidelines, but it's an offer for salvation. It's an offer for help. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination was only evil continually. Man, what a world that was. I think that our world is getting similar to that today. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repent of me that I have made them. Verse number 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So he turns around, he tells them the explanation of what's going on. God speaks to Noah. We don't know how it was done. It's probably done in some type of, he's speaking to him maybe in an audible voice, maybe in that still small voice. The Bible doesn't specifically say, to my knowledge. Verse 14, he begins to give instructions. He said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under the heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. We'll go ahead and stop there. But I want you to think of the multitude and the magnitude of this request. Noah is there. He lives in a very wicked culture. He talks about how their thoughts were on evil continually, but he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He is described as being a just man, where the world itself had gone to wickedness, the world itself had gone to violence, the world. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible describes him as a just man. God comes to him and gives him a commandment. He gives to him, this is what I want you to do. So what I'd like to look at tonight, what caused Noah to be obedient? I believe it's because he moved with fear, is what the Bible says. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help, and then we'll get back to Hebrews chapter number 11. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for these people. Lord, we come here to gather together to, yes, fellowship, and yes, to worship, and yes, to give our tithes, and yes, to perform service. But God, we come together around your word, and because of our association through you and the truth that your word teaches, as we see these great Bible characters, we see that they lived by faith. You even committed that to them in Hebrews chapter number 11. They did these things by faith, but there were different things that helped motivate them. Help us to see tonight, as we try to live by faith, yes, we need to see him who is invisible, and yes, we need to have a heavenly focus. But also, Lord, help us to see this evening that we need to move with fear. To understand in our lives that we don't want to fail you, we don't want to disappoint you, we want to live for you. And we realize there's consequences when we do not live for you and when we go our own way. And we realize there's blessings when we do things according to your will and according to your commandments. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look again here in Hebrews chapter number 11. Let's read verse number 7 again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. You say, what in the world is he talking about? God warned him. We saw that in Hebrews. We saw that in Genesis chapter number 6. He says, there is a great flood coming. There is a great amount of water that's going to take over the entire, world. And he says that when Noah heard that, he moved with fear. And moving with fear, what does he do? He is obedient to God. He prepares the ark. And because he prepares the ark, he is blessed. he saves his own family. While saving his own family, he says, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. There's three things tonight that, and three simple points. We might not even be here that long because it's a pretty simple message, but it has a profound point to it. Number one is, believed God. Noah moved to fear, but Noah believed God. Noah moved to fear, number one, is because he believed God. You say, Pastor, you're talking to somebody at a church like this on a Sunday night. Of course we believe God. We believe God and what he says. We believe God's word. We believe all of it. Well, the problem is we've seen Bible characters that chose not to believe God. Even though they had direct revelation from God, they chose not to believe what he had said. You think about it, Jesus told his disciples on more than one occasion that he was going to die and that he was going to be buried and rise again. And they didn't say they didn't believe him, but Peter stood up and said, no, that will never happen. No, I don't believe you. And you think about it, Jesus is there and he's talking to Peter and Peter's there bragging a little bit and Jesus looks at him and says, you're going to deny me three times tonight. What does Peter say? I'll never do it. Everybody else might do it, but I'll never do it. And when you consider if we are truly going to move with fear, if we're truly going to have our lives not in the fear of man, but instead of a respect and reverence that we want to move with fear because we do not want to disrespect, we do not want to disappoint, we do not want to offend the Lord, we do not want to do anything outside of his will or do anything outside his timing. We believe what his word says, and what are we going to do? If we move with fear, we have to believe God. I began thinking about some of the people that truly did believe God. Maybe Peter and the disciples didn't believe God, but think about the people of Nineveh. People in Nineveh, that Jonah came and he preached the message. And he said, in 40 days, God's going to destroy this place. They believed him. You know what they did? They caused a fast. They put sackcloth and ashes. Not only did they fast, but their animals fast. They believed God. And what happened? There was a blessing. You think about those that did not believe God, even though there was direct revelation. The nation of Israel was told that they could enter into the promised land, and they were told that God was going to be able to give them this land. But we remember the 12 spies that went out. Caleb and Joshua came back and said, we are well able to do it. We can do this. They believed God, and they were willing to go forward. The other 10 and the other million or 2 million people didn't. And because of that, they ended up dying in the wilderness. Yes, if we're truly going to be motivated by moving with fear, we must first and foremost believe God. Think about different people that chose not to believe him. Sarah heard that she was going to have a baby at an old age and says that she laughed. And I can understand why she laughed. She didn't believe him. But then there's other people who chose to say, you know what, I will believe him. I will trust him. When we think of some of the great judges, and I think of some of the great stories, and we're going through 2 Samuel about God leading David to fight these battles, and God leading David as Saul was chasing him, he believed and he trusted in God. He moved with fear. He had a great reverence and respect for God. He believed him, and as he believed him, he moved with fear. Say, Pastor, that's me. I believe him. I trust in him. The second thing is, not only does it say by faith being warned of God of things not seen as yet, move with fear. The second thing I want you to see, not only did he move with fear, he obeyed God. Not only did he believe God, he obeyed him. You say, Pastor, don't they go hand in hand? Well, they should. If we really truly believe God, you know what we're going to do? We're going to obey him. But how many of us really struggle with that? He has said, hey, look, you need to believe me. And Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he believed God that there was a flood that was coming. And because he respected God and he loved God, even though the rest of the world would think he was foolish, even though the rest of the world would think that he was lost his mind and building this huge, huge boat, which they didn't need boats, you know what he does? It says he moved with fear. And he says, to the preparing of an ark. So not only does he believe God, he believes him to a point that it changes his action. Before, he was not preparing an ark. Before, he had never heard of the water coming from the sky. Before, all those different things. And he says, you know what? I trust God. I see the future is coming because God has said it. I believe him. So not only am I going to believe him, it's going to cause me to obey him too. If we're really truly going to have a great reverence and respect for God, not only will we say that we believe him, not only will we just sing the songs, not only will we just show up to church, it will transform what we do. It will cause us to begin to prepare for the things he has told us about. I wonder if we really truly obey him. Yes, we say we believe the Bible. It would be sacrilegious not to say that we obey the Bible, but how many of us believe that there is a hell? If we believe that there was a hell, it would cause us to want to tell more people. Yeah, we would never, but it, once again, it's not just believing it. It's obeying him when he tells us to go. How many of us believe that we will reap what we sow? And we act and we have action after action, and the Bible says that we will reap what we sow. How many of us believe that? Because so many times we still do the same stupid thing after another. I believe I shouldn't do that. But we continually do it and think that nothing's going to happen. How many believe that when the Bible says, take heed lest ye fall, that means that we should deal with our pride? How many believe what the Bible says about our finances, when it comes to our, even not just talking about our giving in our church, but I'm talking about how he has promised to take care of us? Yeah, I believe he's going to take care of me, but then do we obey that? See, Noah moved with fear because, number one, he believed God. When God said, hey, there is a flood that's coming, he says, okay, I believe you. And then he could have went and sat down and said, yep, I believe that flood's coming. It's coming. Same thing we do with the scripture sometimes. We say we believe in God, but we're moved with fear when we don't just believe, but we say, I'm going to obey too. And God says, hey, I want you to do this, this, and this. Okay, I believe that's what I should do. It's when we truly respect and have the fear of the Lord in our heart and our mind, is when we take that from just simple belief and make it obedience. Many of us say we believe the things that the Bible says, but we do not obey what the Bible says. There is an entire human race that believed in the flood once the rain started. There was. But they did not believe that the flood was coming beforehand. No, it was different because Noah not just only believed, he obeyed too. The people in Nineveh believed the warnings from Jonah. And what did they do? They believed it. They didn't keep on living the same way. It caused them to react because they feared the Lord. Third thing I want you to see, not only did he believe God, not only did he obey God, he was blessed by God. Look what it says in verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. And look, it says, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I know I hear preachers sometimes say, Noah never had any converts. Well, he did have some converts. He has his sons and his daughter-in-laws. And what a blessing. You think about it, because of Noah's faith and because he heard about it and he heard what God had said and he was moved with fear, he says to the preparing of the ark, and he began to build the ark, that his sons and his daughter-in-laws came in. What a wonderful testimony. I know we preached about Noah many years ago when it comes to Father's Day. I'm sure one of these years we'll preach about it again, because their sons saw Noah's walk and they trusted Noah's walk because they believed, because their dad's faith was real. Because he moved with fear. He lived a life that was going to convict his son's lies and show that it's real to him and that it's true. The whole world was dying out there, but Noah's family was in the ark. Sometimes I think and consider what would have been like that day to be part of the flood, and how much we would protect our sons and daughters, how much we'd want to protect our families and our wives, and then to be there and see the water coming and not be able to do anything about it. You know, I'm sure we would try to do our best to put our children and our wives up in a higher level, thinking and hoping that it will stop. but then watching your own children drown. It would have been a horrible thing. But Noah didn't have to experience that, because Noah moved with fear. I want you to understand that if we will learn to not just only believe God, and we obey God and obey His word, not just what we think about His word, that's what the Pharisees did. They looked at the law, they interpreted their own way, and this is the way we're going to do it. As we looked at it this morning, one man went home justified, the other didn't. Noah not only believed God, he obeyed God, and he was blessed by it. Look what it says. It says that he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. And we mentioned a little bit about that, talking about our holy living can convict the hearts and minds. And that's what Noah, he had the convicted the men's of hearts, and they hated the fact of what he believed and how he lived. You say, well, how do you know he lived a good life? Well, the Bible says he was just. When all the world was thinking evil continually, there was one man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible described him as just and described him as someone who walked with God. But then it says, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He believed in the future of Jesus Christ. He believed in the Messiah that was coming. He believed in the promised seed that had been passed down. He became heir of righteousness. Tonight we are heirs together with Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Because we have our faith and the trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross, the Bible says that we are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. And how did that happen? It happened because of faith. The simple sermon, a simple message. I know the Lord spoke to my heart about it. I sat out yesterday and all today just thinking about God. What is it that you want portrayed here? And there's one verse that comes to my mind, and I have it looked up on my tablet. It says 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. The Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So do we believe that if men and women leave this world without Christ, that they will go to hell someday? And if we believe that, then we will try to persuade men and show men. The Bible says, you know, compel them to come in. We will tell others about what they have, the opportunity they have with Jesus Christ, and through believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. See, to me, when we understand God and we see who God is, that will cause us to want to move with fear. Now, I know sometimes our faith overcomes our fear and we live for the Lord. I know sometimes fear overcomes our faith and we don't live for God. That's not the type of fear we're talking about here. When it says he moved with fear, he believed what God said because he trusted God, and he lived for God, and he walked with God, and he understood God. He saw his relatives before him that lived for God and that walked for God like Enoch, and he knew what God was going to say. He knew God was not a liar. He knew God's word was true, and he believed it, and he obeyed it, and God blessed him unlike anyone else in the whole world, because the rest passed away in the flood. So what do we take from this today? Do we believe God? Do you believe him? I think the majority of these people in the room would say, yes, I believe him. Next question is, do we obey him? It's filled with things that he gives us commandments to do. Things about forgiveness, things about kindness, things about being a soul winner, things about being faithful, things about resources, things about relationships with your husbands and wives and families, children obeying their parents. It's filled in there. It's the difference, though, between believing and obeying. If you truly believe it, you're going to obey it, because you're going to move with fear because you have respect for God. You know, think about it. If I told you something bad was going to happen and you believed me, but you did nothing to prevent it from happening, you wouldn't truly respect my opinion or what I said. So how come we think when God gives us promises and God gives us warnings and God gives us things to live by, we hear it, we believe it, but we don't obey it? What does that teach them? It's that we don't fear him. We don't have the right respect of him. And I wanted to give you this picture that God is up in heaven with some type of lightning bolt waiting for you to mess up. That's not the God we serve. We serve a God who loves us. We serve a God who is kind to us. We serve a God that we come to him even as the wickedest of wicked sinners, such as the publican, and say, God, have mercy upon me. And God responds. But tonight, I guess the simple thought there is that Noah, he moved with fear. He had that respect for God that he was going to listen. And I wonder how many of us truly respect him enough, not just to say we believe his word, but we want to obey his word. And not only just obey it, see God bless us. And our families see that we not only believe God's word, because we can, there's a lot of people at home tonight. A lot of people don't even darken a church door anymore. They say, oh yeah, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. But they don't obey it. Let that not be said about us. Let's not just believe. Let's obey. And then let God do what he chooses to do. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a short time of invitation. Tonight, do you